which are still standing, have become moldy and rotten. The rats that once scampered through its galleries deserted it along with humankind, and its very name, from long disuse, has acquired an unaccustomed sound. But 20 years ago, there was no busier mine than the Dryden, from Carbondale to Nanticoke. 230 men and boys went by the slope into it every morning, and came out from it every night. They were simple and unlearned, these men and boys, rugged and rude, rough and reckless at times, but manly, heroic, and kind-hearted. Up in the Lackawanna region, a strike had been in progress for nearly 2 weeks. Efforts had been made by the strikers to persuade the miners down in the valley to join them, but at first without success. Then a committee of 100 came down to appeal and to intimidate. In squads of 10 or more, they visited the mines in the region and, in the course of their journeyings, had come to the Dryden slope. They had induced the miners to go out at all the workings they had thus far entered, and were no less successful here. It required persuasion, sometimes threats, sometimes, indeed, even blows, for the miners in Dryden Slope had no cause of complaint against their employers. They earned good wages and were content. But 20 years ago, miners who kept at work against the wishes of their fellows while a strike was in progress were called blacklegs, were treated with contempt, waylaid and beaten, and sometimes killed. So the men in the Dryden mine yielded, and soon, down the chambers and along the headings, toward the foot of the slope, came little groups, with dinner pails and tools, discussing earnestly, often bitterly, the situation and the prospect. The members of a party of 15 or 20 that came down the airway from the tier of chambers on the new north heading were holding an especially animated conversation. Fully one half of the men were visiting strikers. They were all walking in single file along the route by which the mine cars went. For some distance from the new chambers, the car track was laid in the airway. Then it turned down through an entrance into the heading, and from that point followed the heading to the foot of the slope. Where the route crossed from the airway to the heading, the space between the pillars had been carefully boarded across so that the air current should not be turned aside, and a door had been placed in the boarding to be opened whenever the cars approached and shut as soon as they had passed by. That door was attended by a boy. To this point the party had now come, and one by one filed through the opening, while Benny, the door boy, stood holding back the door to let them pass. "Ho, Jack, tack the door boy, will ye?" shouted someone in the rear. The great, broad-shouldered, rough-bearded man who led the procession turned back to where Benny, apparently lost in astonishment at this unusual occurrence, stood still, with his hand on the door. "Come along, lad," he said, "come along. Ye'll have a great place spell noo." "I can't leave the door, sir," answered Benny. "The cars will be coming soon." "Ye needna mind the cars. Come along, will ye, I say." "But I can't go till time comes anyway, you know." The man came a step closer. He had the frame of a giant. The others who passed by were like children beside him. Then one of the men who worked in the mine, and who knew Benny, came through the doorway, the last in the group, and said, "Don't hurt the boy. Let him alone. His brother'll take him out. He always does." All this time Benny stood quite still, with his hand on the door, never turning his head. It was a strange thing for a boy to stand motionless like that, and look neither to the right nor the left, while an excited group of men passed by, one of whom had stopped and approached him, as if he meant him harm. It roused the curiosity of Jack the Giant, as the miners called him, and plucking his lamp from his cap, he flashed the light of it up into Benny's face. The boy did not stir. No muscle of his face moved. Even his eyes remained open and fixed. "Why, lad, lad, what's the matter wi' ye?" There was tenderness in the giant's voice as he spoke, and tenderness in his bearded face as Benny answered. "Don't you know? I'm blind."
"Blind? And a workin' i' the mines?"
"Oh, a body don't have to see to tend door, you know. All I've to do is open it when I hear the cars a-comin', and to shut it when they get by."
"Aye, that's true. But ye dinna get here alone. Who helpit ye?"
Benny's face lighted up with pleasure as he answered,
"Oh, that's Tom. He helps me. I couldn't get..."